remain standing and open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 4. And before we read and go to prayer, I'd just like to mention that I guess the vote was Wednesday for communion, the Wednesday, the 24th. That's okay. And then we'll be having our fellowship dinner then the Sunday of Memorial Day. So we'll plan on that. Galatians chapter 4, reading from verse 19 through verse 31. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. Tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one of a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Which things are an allegory, for these are the two covenants, the one from the Mount Sinai, which gendereth to bondage, which is Agar. For this Agar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which is now, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate hath many more children than she which has a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. You gracious Father, we once again humbly, Lord, approach this holy pulpit and believing, Lord, that you are a holy God. It's not the pulpit that's holy, but it's your presence, Father, that's holy. And believing that you inhabit the praises of your people. Therefore, we believe you're here. And Father, believing that your prophet said that the pillar of fire would lead us into the millennium, we believe that you're still on the scene. And Lord, we ask that you would be with us now in service today. We pray that you would bless the words which would be spoken. And more than anything else, Father, we pray that we could just get ourselves out of the way, that your great presence would have the preeminence. For we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Notice Paul lays up in Scripture that there were children born of two different mothers. One was born by an act of flesh, another was by a promise. One then raised her child up after the flesh, the other by promise. And the same is fulfilled every day throughout this earth. We have children being born by the multitudes to carnal mothers. And we have very, very few. As it says, many more are the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. Even in our society today, it's rather quite an indictment that amongst the black population, 70% of the children are born by mothers out of wedlock, which makes them a harlot. Whereas only 30%, or 3 in 10, are born by mothers who are married. And then of those that are married, how many of them are on their second or third or whatever? So we find many more of the children of the harlot than she which has a husband. Now, this morning we've come here on what is termed by our commercial society as Mother's Day. And I do not agree with setting aside one day a year to honor our mothers. I think that, as Brother Branham said, every day should be a day which we honor our mother. From the invasion of the U.S., Brother Branham said, I was looking, and my wife put, well, when I started out this morning, and she put a rose on my coat this morning, and she said, you ought to wear it, your mother's a living. And I said, "Oh, honey, I don't know. Mother's Day is wonderful, but that's like the world. They've commercialized the thing just merely to sell flowers and things like that. Why, it's a discredit to mother. why, my mother is a mother every day of the year. Yes, sir, not just one day." And then I would say to you, I'd say, "Do you love your mother?" And you'd say, "Well, I sent her a bouquet of flowers last Mother's Day." Well, brother, she ought to be mother every day. You see, it's become so commercial. Then he went on to say, "And I certainly sympathize with you poor mother sitting here with your white roses." Apparently they have red roses if your mother's living and white roses if your mother has passed away, because he says there's a heaven that the mother's gone to, where a good old-fashioned mother that lived for God probably has passed beyond the veil. And she's waiting for you to come. And that's right. And I respect and honor you there with your red roses on. Your mother, if you want to do anything for her, do it 365 days a year. Go to her house and offer prayer and live for God. That's the thing to do, and bring up your children. And when your children come up, they'll call you blessed after that you have passed on beyond the veil. That's the real spirit of motherhood and the real spirit of Mother's Day. Mother's Day is 365 days a year. This is the day that they sell flowers and pass presents. The world does. if the world should stand another 20 years, they'll have sons' days and daughters' days and cousins' days and uncle days and all of them like that, see? Just enough to get the world in a commercial glamour. That's just where it's going, right into hell. Just as hard as it can go to destruction. And I think what they've done since then is they've made a Father's Day, and then they've kind of wrapped it all up, I guess the uncles and brothers, like he said, and sisters' days and stuff like that, they've kind of wrapped it all up into Sweetheart's Day. So it's all just a commercial thing, and the people today have become so dependent upon others, it seems, to tell them when to be affectionate and how to be affectionate. And when to be sweet, and how to be sweet, and when to be thoughtful, and how to be thoughtful, and it's really become a disgrace to the human race. Paul said, "Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Now this morning I'm going to take my text from the book of Genesis, which is the C chapter of the Bible, and we're going to find out just what this word mother really means. After all, why would we celebrate something if we could not really understand what it is? Now we've already seen that there's two types of mothers. Paul said, the one who brings forth unto bondage, the one who brings forth, in a fleshly role, and then those who bring forth by promise, and there's a spiritual relationship there. Now in Genesis chapter 3, and reading from verse 20, Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Notice then, her name was given. Apparently until this time, there's no mention at all in the scriptures that Adam ever called his wife by any name. I can imagine that he might have called her mate, or might have called her wife or something like that, but in Genesis 3 and 20 tells us when Eve received her name. And it also tells us the reason that she received her name. He said, "I shall call your name Eve, because you are the mother of all living." Therefore, to be a mother means to be a bringer forth of life. And from that point on, the value of that life, the essence of that life, the quality of that life will all depend upon how the child is brought up. That's why Paul said that you've got two types of mothers. One, who symbolized in the scripture by Hagar, was a mother in the flesh only. And another who was a mother, who is a spiritual mother, brought her child up in the admonition of the Lord. You have two types of women. Any woman is capable of bringing forth a child. Any woman is capable of of bringing forth a child as a mother, but not any woman is capable of being a genuine mother. Mother's Day, from the message Mother's Day, Brother Brown said, I believe it was the Ten Commandments. The late C.C.B. DeMille that wrote and put on the screen one of the masterpieces of the movie world. And before it was put on the scene or let out, C.C.B. DeMille called Oral Roberts and Dean Shakarian and a bunch of the Full Gospel ministers and took them into his own studios and showed the 4 hours of the Ten Commandments and asked them their opinion of it. God rest his gallant soul. And when I seen it and was looking at it, and a little remark always struck me. If many of you would who did see it, was when the daughter of Pharaoh, after Moses had found out that he was Hebrew, and he had decided to go dwell with his people, and there sat his once beautiful mother, faded out, with her gray hair and her wrinkled face, sitting in an old armchair, a typical mother. And the Pharaoh's daughter came in, and he said, whose son am I, anyhow? And when it was brought to light that Jochebed was his real mother, the daughter of Pharaoh, with her paint and so forth on and all fixed up, and she said, but look, he may be your son, but she said, I gave him the wealth and splendor. You could have given him nothing but the slime pits. But the aged, gray-headed mother, all she said was, but I gave him life. That makes the difference. I gave him life, and God gave him eternal life. How true. That's a true mother. Life. The greatest gift anyone can receive, life. For without it, we would not even exist. And that is why God set forth the Ten Commandments in which to live by, and that is why the fifth commandment, the number of grace that God gave the man in Exodus 20 and verse 12 says, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Now in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8 we read, my son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Notice, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Forsake not her law. For they shall be as an ornament of grace unto thy head. And that's the fifth commandment. Honor thy mother. Grace. And chains about thy neck. The Apostle Paul taught us, this commandment is the first one with a promise attached to it. In Ephesians chapter 6, and we find in verse 1, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing to do. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. And what's the promise? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long upon the earth. Notice the promise is long life. Why? Because to honor your mother and your father is to honor the life that brought you forth. Therefore, to honor life will prolong life. Now contrast that with the curse which came upon those who do not so honor this source of life. In Exodus chapter 21 and verse 15, and he that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Exodus 21, verse 17. And he that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. And Leviticus 19, verse 3. Ye shall fear every man his mother. Ye shall fear every man his mother and his father, and keep my Sabbaths. I am the Lord your God. For everyone that curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. He hath cursed his father or his mother, his blood shall be upon him. It's an awesome thing, an awful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. He says, honor your parents, honor your mother, and you'll have long life. Dishonor your mother, and your hands Your life is in your own hands. And it may be very, very short. A lot of these young guys run around, like race car drivers, or dishonoring their parents. What happens? They end up in a heap on the highway someplace. Honor your mother, that you may have long life. In Matthew 15, verse 3, and Jesus answered, said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandments of God by your traditions? For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother, and he that curses father or mother, let him die the death. But you say, whosoever shall say to his father or his mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me. In other words, whatever I do, it's your benefit. You had me. You know, I can do what I want to do. Whosoever shall say to his father or mother, it is a gift, by whatsoever thou mightest be profited by me, and honors not his father or his mother, he shall be free. Sure. Thus have you made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. The other translations say, or the other actually in Luke and Mark, the same thing says, not just he will be free, but actually not free, but he shall have an early death. He shall die. He shall die the death. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 16, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God demands that you honor your mother. Now remember in Proverbs 6, we read that we are to honor the commandments of our mother. Solomon said, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head. What is grace? It's unmerited favor. Again, we read in Proverbs 6 and verse 20, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Now, why is it that Brother Branham made reference to that Kentucky mother? That you know, if the daughter was out there doing things that she shouldn't be doing, he said, you know, if you got a good old Kentucky mother, she'll, you know, rake the hide right off of her. Notice when the prophet talks, when the scripture talks, it doesn't talk about the father disciplining so much as the mother disciplining. The law of the mother, forsake it not. And why is that? Because typically the father's out, he's working, the mother is there, she's raising the children, she's the one that's in contact on a regular basis, and that's her role, is to raise up those kids. Now, the problem is she can't do it alone. She needs the support from her husband. But notice he says, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thy heart and tie them about thy neck. And when thou goest, it shall lead thee. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. To keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of the strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take with thee her eyelids. For by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for that precious life. Take heed to your mothers, and you mothers, raise up those children in the way they should go. The reproofs and instructions are the way of life, he says. Paul said in Hebrews 12 and verse 8, but if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. Therefore, correction is an essential part of our life training, for it leads us, it guides us, and it places discipline in our life. In Proverbs 15 and verse 10, we read, correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. You sow, you're going to reap. Proverbs 29, verse 15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And the shame of the mothers in this nation. When the majority of children are left to themselves, and it brings shame back upon the mothers. And then when you've got mothers, the poor, and I feel sorry for them. But that's the problem in this nation today, especially among our black population. Over 70% of the blacks in this nation are born into a single-parent home. And the poor mama, she doesn't know what to do. And without any support from a husband, she's left to ask the government for help. And that is the worst thing that she could do. And because then she has become dependent upon the government to solve her problems for her, and she's training her children to do the same. And the scripture tells us, Proverbs 22 and verse 6, train up a child in the way that she'll go, or he'll go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. And so we have mama who decided, I'm going to have a child without being married, because I'm going to try to catch the man. It's no way to catch a man. You catch the man, you get that ring on your finger, you stand before that pulpit, and you get your vows done, then you let the man have you. Not until. But, you know, it's a thing today. They say, well, you know what? You gotta catch that man. Hey. What do? You just open yourself up and become some type of a sex disposal. Garbage disposal. And so then you bring in little Johnny or little, you know, whoever. Or little Sally. And then she sees her mom made it. She never did get married. Worked hard, raised up to raise her kid, put her in school and whatever. Then she goes out at 14 or 15. She decides to have a baby. Now she doesn't want to have the baby. She just wants to have, you know, Johnny down the street. Johnny down the street doesn't want to have a baby. He doesn't want to be tied down. He just wants to have fun. So what does she do? She repeats the cycle. Train them up in the way they'll go. That's what they're going to do. The cycle's got to break somewhere. You all know that you have in your natural birth, you're born with on a certain date, certain time. There's a certain numerics involved with all that. You have a certain nature just by the human birth. But when the new birth comes in, it changes all that. It's time to break the cycle. And the cycle can be broken by being born again. Just look at all the examples of Scripture where a godly mother raises up her children, or her children, or her child or children to serve the Lord. First we see Jochebed, the mother of Moses. Where would that man have been if it had not been the godly instruction that she gave him while raising him from Pharaoh's for Pharaoh's sister? You know, she came, she nursed him, she gave him that as John Wesley's mother said, by that you actually mold them by the age of three. Everything they're ever going to get in them is by the age of three. Even science today is telling us that. They say that, you know, if you play certain music and read to them and do this and that, you know, that their intelligence will increase and all this. You know, it's got to do it by the age of three. Well, the Russians years ago, they said you mold them by three, you bend them by nine, you break them after that, if they can be broken. The problem is, when 70% of the population are working full-time and leaving the child in the hands of someone else, they're being molded by someone else. And now studies come out and saying that you put your children in these daycare centers, and what's happening? They're finding out that the kids are very ill-fitted to be compatible with others, that they actually are becoming very aggressive. That's the findings that they found. Very aggressive nature. They fight over things and everything else. You know what it's all about? I'll tell you what it's all about. They're longing to share their life with somebody, and it ain't mother. They want mother, but mother's not there for them. I heard someone the other day on the radio say, you know, I learned a lesson as a teenager. I worked in a daycare center, and I found that when these kids would, then they had, some of the kids got off school early, and they'd come, and they'd be there for another 2 or 3 hours before their mothers got off work. And these kids would come, they're just all fired up from school, and they'd bring their papers to show me what they did, and I'd sit there, I'd partake of their life, you know, and they show me the coloring and the things that they did. And then when their mother got there, by the time their mother got there, 3 or 4 hours later, their mother would say, well, what did you do in school today? And they'd say, nothing. The excitement was already gone. There was nobody there when they got home from school. And that's our society today. Like Brother Branham said, we're raising up a generation of neurotics. But look at Moses' mother. She trained him up until he was weaned, and she taught him the things. And then look at Hannah, how she raised up Samuel until he was old enough to serve the Lord in the temple. And look at the impression that she left him with before she turned him over to Eli. Then look at King Lemuel, who was raised up by his mother with the following words in Proverbs 31 and verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. What, my son? And what, the son of my womb? And what, the son of my vows? Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink, lest they drink and forget the law, and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that be of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty, and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb in the cause of all, such as are appointed to destruction. Open thy mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The hearts of her husband doth safely trust her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do good unto him, and not evil, all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. Notice willingly. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth forth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night, and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and she buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. She stretcheth out her hand to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself covering of tapestries. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchandise. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Now, when the scriptures tell us to train up your child in the way that he is going to go, or will go, it's telling you that your role in life is a training. That your role in life is to bring forth your child, to train up the child in the way that it shall go. And the way refers to its path in life. And unless you are walking in the right path yourself, your child will not walk in it. Therefore, you are not only to instruct them, but your very actions and the way that you live yourself becomes a way of life to them. Your children will do exactly what they see you do. And they will say what they hear you say. It's no surprise that if your children is cussing, it's because you're cussing. It's no surprise that if the children are doing things that shouldn't be done, it's because you're doing the things that shouldn't be done. Because they see it. And you moms have the greatest impact upon your children than anyone. The greatest. next is you fathers. Because you mothers, from the very time the child comes forth, you're the first one to touch that child. You're the first one to embrace that child. That child's nourishment comes forth first from you. They're fed by you. They're fondled by you. They're dressed by you. And so everything about them that they receive, they're receiving from you mothers. From the message Mother's Day, Brother Branham said, Mother is so great. You know, the first one that receives you into this life is your mother. No one can touch you because you're conceived, and she bears you under her heart. And she is the first to know you, and the first to, in this life, to hold you. Then when you're born, she is the one, the first hands that touch you and wipes back the tears from your eyes. She's the first one to pat you and to love you and to coo over you in this life is your mother. Now, I think that there's not enough honor that we could give to a mother. Mother is first with the child, and she's a great responsibility of what that child will be. It will be based upon the way that has the responsibility from God to place that child on the right road. And I think that's why mothers has a special little touch. You know, Brother Branham said even, he said, you mothers, he said, did you know that you're a little preacher? Your congregation is your children? You see, you have the responsibility to place that child on the right road. I don't know of a boy in the city. I know of a boy in the city. I think his mother's present now. He's almost my age. But I don't say this to hurt the mother, because she has enough hurt, as all mothers. But the boy drinks, and he drinks heavy. And when he gets real drunk, he will come home and jump in the bed with his mother and put his arms around her, and he's got grandchildren. But there's something about just the pad of a mother that seems to take a different place than anything else can touch that is in this life, humanly speaking. And you know, a man like Moses, if I could credit anything to his character, it was because he had a God-sent mother. You know, it was she that had prayed, Jochebed, and had longed for this baby. And when he was born, she was the one who cooed him and cuddled him and built the ark and placed him in the bulrushes when her poor heart breaking. Her only little baby, and it was the most outstanding little chunk that was in all the world, and how a mother likes any baby but to see this special little fellow. And so he attributed everything to his mother. In Ezekiel chapter 16, verse 44, we read, Behold, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb, saying, As is a mother, so is her daughter. Now that's an awesome, awesome statement. Are you mothers living a godly life? Are you serving the Lord with your all? If you are, your daughters will do the same. If you got your little secret sins and you're out there behind the woodshed smoking, your daughter's going to see it. She's going to be smoking too. You're wearing your britches around the house, she's going to be wearing britches. You can just be assured she, as you are, she will. You see, everyone that uses proverbs shall use this proverb. As is a mother, so is a daughter. Your life, as Brother Branham so often said, your life speaks louder than your words. Again, from the message Mother's Day, he said, But I might pass this on to the young people. You know, Abraham Lincoln never owned a book in his life until he was 21 years old. The only books he owned up until that time was the Bible and Fox's Book of Martyrs, see? What you read molds the character that you are. No wonder we got a bunch of neurotics today. Little old fiction magazines and vulgar and nonsense is placed upon our newsstands. He owned the Bible and Fox's Book of Martyrs. And look what it made him. But in the face of all that, one day he made a statement like this. He said, If there could be said any good thing found in me, it's because of a godly mother that reared him to serve the Lord. You see, the child listens to its mother. Some little touch about that mother that a child will listen to. When it's hurt, it'll go to the mother first for consolation, because before it'll go to the father, because she was the first with it, you know. And there's some gift that God gives a mother to be that way. I mean, a real mother. Now, and I believe that mothers are honorable and godly. But I believe such as Mother's Day, like this, is a racket. It makes a lot of money, you know, out of flowers and things, but Mother's Day should be every day. Not to send her a bunch of flowers on Mother's Day, but to love her and care for her 365 days and nights throughout the year. But of course, the commercial world has a great hold in things like this, and it depreciates motherhood. Oh, well, last Mother's Day, I sent her a bunch of flowers. She'd appreciate a whole lot more than that. Just sit down and talk with her just a bit. Write her a line, pat her on the shoulder, kiss her on the cheek, tell her you love her. It'll go a lot further than all the flowers that you could buy from the florist. That's true. In John chapter 8 and verse 41, following the same thoughts, Jesus said, "You do the deeds of your fathers." Then said they unto him, "We're not born of fornication. We have one Father, even God." And Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech, even because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it." In other words, train them up the way they go. When they get old, they'll not depart. I won't ask for a sign of hands, but I'd like to ask the question, how many of you mothers have prayer with your daughters and your sons? How many of you mothers read the Bible to your children? Oh, you say, well, you know, we did that when they were little, but now they're older and they're kind of on their own. How many of you mothers are still talking the Word with your children? You see, the Bible says train them up in the way they'll go. And when they get old, and to me, old is not 16 or 17 or 18 or 19 or 20 or 21. Old is, look, I'm 48 and I don't consider myself old. Don, do you consider yourself old? How old are you? 57. Hey. 56. And not old. Not old. Raise them up, train them up, guide them, keep them in the way. That's our heritage, and that's our responsibility before God. The process whereby your mother gave life to you is also the same process that God brings forth your new birth. First, there is a conception. She had to receive a seed life from the source of that life, which is the Father. Then there had to be a transformation period in which you are adding fiber to fiber, bringing forth a body. And finally, there's identification where you're seen face to face. Conception, transformation, and finally, identification. Conception, you know, that's the easy part. That's the most enjoyable. The revelation comes forth. We shout hallelujah. It's inspiring. And the same way in the natural. The conception part's the easy part. That's the enjoyable part. But then, after the conception takes place, the most difficult part begins. And that's the transformation. Because as that little body is beginning to form within her, it's giving her a lot of pain. And as the new birth is beginning to form, the Holy Spirit's there quickening you constantly, showing you the wrong in which your flesh is accustomed to. Change this, do this, don't eat that. Isn't that what happens to a mother? She smokes, she drinks, and all of a sudden she finds herself bringing forth a little body within her. What does she do? She quits the cigarettes, she quits drinking, she quits the chocolates. She changes her diet. Why? Because there's a little life coming forth. What about the Holy Spirit, baptism? What about the new birth? What about that body which we have waiting? Brother Bram said when the new birth takes place, it begins growing. You see, it's the same thing. That's why you go from justification, which is receiving that seed, that's a conception, to sanctification, which is that transforming process. It's not easy. But I know my diet. I've got to change my diet. I used to, you know, be into sports 100% when I was a kid, you know, and young, you know. But, you know, the more and more I realize, hey, there's a body that is prepared for me. Now I've got to attune to that body. What does sports mean to me anymore? They don't. See? So I'm feeding it meat and bread and the milk of the Word, see? And so I start changing my diet, you know, and, and conforming to that, to bring forth the body in the purest form that it can be. And she brings her own body into submission to that little body growing up within her. And she does a lot of sanctification in her body to ensure that that little body will come forth healthy. She changes her diet, and if need be, she quits eating and drinking things that she used to enjoy. And for the sake of that little one coming forth, she endures. And then finally comes that day of reckoning, where that little body comes forth, and she looks into its face, and for the first time, there's an identification. She sees him face to face. And he's known as she is known. And she can finally know even as he is known. In Matthew 12 and verse 46, while he had yet talked with the people, beholding his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak unto him. Then said one of the people to him, behold, your mother and brother and sisters are out there, desiring to speak with thee. But he stopped and he answered and said unto them, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples, and he said, behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. From the teaching on Moses, Brother Branham said, now I said this morning, being it's Mother's Day, and we want to speak a little to the children, and I thought this morning would be a good time for the little children. And I think that the day of Mother, now, there's nothing any sweeter on earth that we know of than a real, genuine mother. God bless her gallant soul, a real, genuine mother. But we got so many substitutes today that's called mother. That's not mother. They're just women who have children, but not mothers. An old-fashioned mother is one who cares for her family. And she don't lay out there on these lounges and dances all night long, smoking and drinking and come in. And she don't deserve that sacred name of mother. She's just a woman, that's all. That's raising a child, but not a mother. Because mother has got a different meaning to it. Now, I think if you know, now, to Mother's Day, I want to express myself real good. I got an old gray-haired mother sitting there, myself. And I think a day all night, but every day should be Mother's Day. Just not once a year, and the reason these Mother's Day things are going on now, and I see that we've just got a handful, and we all know one another. But we're home folks, and that's the reason that we're going to talk this way. I think that a mother should be respected every day. That's right, a real mother. But if this day they call Mother's Day is nothing in the world but a big commercial nonsense, just to drain people of their money, and it's a disgrace to motherhood. A Mother's Day for once a year, well, we don't go to see her, but we'll send her a little bunch of flowers, and that'll settle it. That's nothing. That's not mother. My goodness, a real mother is a woman that. One that raised you and loved you, and you see her and talk to her all the time and express your love to her all the time, not just one day out of the year. And finally, from the fifth seal, Brother Brown said, watch, when a baby, excuse me, sisters, for this plain talk before you women, but look, when a mother has, when she conceives, and that little bunch of muscles is twisting and jumping, you understand, it's a natural body. And just as nature's performing the natural body, did you ever notice that your wife, before the little one was born, she always right along at the last becomes real sweet and kind? If she hasn't been all of her life, she will be then. Did you ever notice how saintly and kind of feeling you notice a mother, and you see some sinner out there make fun of a mother that's a pregnant woman? And I think that's ridiculous. That's life coming to the world. But did you notice around that mother, there seems to be a sweet feeling? What is it? It's a little spiritual body, spiritual life, waiting to come into that little body as soon as it's born. Now, it's only begun, but when it's born, it's born. And the spiritual body unites with the natural body. And then the Bible teaches that we are now begotten of God. We've begotten of the Holy Spirit that is in us, Christ, a Son of God being formed in us. And when this earthly body of this tabernacle be dissolved, we have another body waiting for us. There's another body waiting to receive it. And if this earthly tabernacle is dropped, there's another body to receive it. This mortal body puts on immortality. This terrestrial puts on celestial. See what I mean? There's a natural body that's sinful, but it's making just like it is another body that we go to. And I'm so grateful to God that I can say as your pastor and brother that I've seen those people, so help me, in that body and handle them with my hands. That's right. That's when Brother Barron was caught up to the other side. And in closing, we just want to read from Galatians chapter 4, again, verse 19. Paul says, "My little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you." And then 1 John chapter 3, reading verse 9 to 10. "Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not right wiseness is not of God, but neither is he that loveth not his brother." Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Dear gracious Father, we wish to thank you, Lord, for your words. We believe, Father, that there is a life that is growing up within us. And just as the mother, she has the most difficult time during the transforming of that body that's within her, so we as your children have the most difficult time, that sanctification time, that time that little body that we're going to is being formed in us, as Paul said, until Christ be formed in you. And Father, we know that we're to come forth in the image of your Son, and he was obedient even to the point of death. His doctrine wasn't his. His words were not his. His deeds were not his. His works were not his. And Lord, we know that he had such a nature, such an attitude, that he said, "The Son doeth nothing lest the Father shows him first." May this mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, until Christ be formed in us. For we ask it humbly, Lord, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Be with the mothers today, Father. We pray that you'd bless them in a way that they've never been blessed before. We pray that you'd give them a joy and of motherhood. May they realize the great opportunity they have to mold a child into the image of your Son. And so, Father, we just pray for them. Give them strength, Lord, and courage. May they be like that little Kentucky washwoman that when her child got out of line and came home late, she said she wouldn't be able to sit for a week. We pray, Father, that you'd give the mothers guidance. We pray that you give them courage to stand by their convictions. And we pray that you would use them, Father, to mold their children into the image of your Son, for we ask it humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we close in a word of song, I'd like to just mention that there are settings of flowers out there for each mother in here this morning. And that is from my wife and I and our family to you. And not that we believe in the commercialism of Mother's Day, but it's just a little gesture that we could do for you. And I just pray that when you would look at those flowers, you realize that that's life, and that's the whole reason why you're a mother. You brought forth life. And I just pray that you realize that, as the scripture says, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth until now for the manifestation of the sons of God. And may it be your lot in life to not only reproduce, but to bring forth the image of God's only begotten Son, sons and daughters of the Most High. Let's just stand to our feet and we'll sing that song. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee." If we have the musicians come forward. It's from Numbers chapter 6. Let's go ahead and sing that one first, okay? Yes. I know. whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Before we sing that one more time, I just want you to think about those words, because we all have children, and as they get older, they have a tendency to want to wander from the nest a little bit. And let's just be praying for those mothers out there, that God will give them strength. And as the scripture says, I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. We've committed our children. Let's just be applying that token. Let's sing one more time.
I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Amen. The Lord bless thee and keep thee.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and give thee peace, and give thee peace, and give thee peace.
God bless you all.
The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord make his face shine toward you and give thee peace. And give thee peace.